Good morning. We'd like to call the meeting to order of the Sussex County Personnel Board Advisory Committee. I'm Everett Moore, the Sussex County Attorney, and we need a motion for the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
I'll move that the agenda as presented be approved.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, thank you. Next, we have the election of a chairman. Can I have a motion for the election of a chairman?
I'd like to nominate Mr. Kenton as the chairman of the Sussex County Personnel Board.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, are there any other nominations? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let the record show that it was unanimous vote for the chairman, Mr. Kenton. Mr. Kenton?
I'd like to call the meeting to order and approve the agenda as distributed. Is there a motion to approve the amended agenda?
So moved.
It's not amended. It was already approved in that form. So we just need to go forward with a public hearing at this point.
Okay. I'd like to move forward with a public hearing. Mr. Moore, okay. Would you take care of that?
Yes. This is the time and place for a public hearing, and what we're discussing today is a proposed ordinance to amend Chapter 29 of the Code of Sussex County relating to personnel. And note that I indicate proposed because at this point we do not have an ordinance. What the procedure will be after the public hearing today, this personnel board will make recommendations to the county administrator, and then based upon the personnel board's recommendations, the county administrator will then prepare a proposed ordinance to the county council, where they can then act on and approve that ordinance. As is the case with county council, when we hold public hearings, there will be a presentation made describing some of the changes. In this case, those changes will be discussed by Barry Willoughby, who serves as the attorney for the handles personnel matters for Sussex County. Also, Karen Brewington, the director of personnel for the county, and Todd Lawson, the county administrator. And after they have had an opportunity to make their presentation, the board and I can ask questions of them. After the presentations are made and those questions answered, then any members of the public are able to come forward, state their name and address, and make their comments to the board. After that, the hearing would be closed, and then this board can act on the recommendations. At this point, I'd like to call on Mr. Willoughby to make a presentation to the board.
Thank you. My name is Barry Willoughby, as you know. Good to see all of you again. First of all, I'd like to thank the committee that's here for all the hard work they've put into this ordinance. As many of you are probably aware, this ordinance has been in effect probably since the county actually was formed and has not really been substantially changed in those years. There's been a few changes here and there, but really not many. So the administration felt that it was high time, really, that it be updated. As probably most of you are aware, many of the laws in the employment area are rapidly changing and have changed greatly over the years. When this ordinance was passed, for example, the anti-discrimination laws didn't cover really many of the kinds of discrimination that are listed in the ordinance or in the amended proposed ordinance that will eventually find its way to council. So we felt those kinds of things needed to be updated. Naturally, over the years, there are also many kinds of practices that develop that are not necessarily written into the code, and we felt they should be developed and put in writing to clarify things. One example, recently, for example, we had a termination hearing. We adopted a process that complies with current standards of due process. That really was not in the code per se, but that's a practice that we followed to make sure we were in complete compliance with the federal due process, state due process requirements. So in connection with the code, we have formalized those procedures that had been followed previously this year. So we wanted to update those kinds of things to make sure that they were written into the code as well as in actual practice. and to also make clear that, you know, certain other kinds of practices that have been followed are part of the ordinance now, and that they're going to be uniform county policies. So that's a kind of a broad overview. I did not intend to go through the ordinance item by item because I know you've had it. I thought I would talk about the, kind of some of the major changes that we think are out there, and then leave it open for, you know, questions. If Karen had anything to add or Todd had anything to add, have them do that, and then have you ask us questions. And if there's members of the public, certainly have them do so. So I'm not going to go through line by line, but one major theme, now it's bright, much louder. One major theme that we had was that we wanted to make sure all the categories of discrimination that were have been codified now are into the county ordinance. So we've included all the state categories, race, religion, sex, national origin, genetic information, marital status, sexual orientation, disability, all those categories are now explicitly part of the code. We also, as I said, wanted to update the procedures for due process. Over the years, those standards have been evolving. And, you know, when I first started practicing, it wasn't totally clear, but it is clear now that when you have a public agency like this, that there needs to be a separation of what's called the prosecutorial function and the judicial function. So you as a board, for example, had a hearing earlier this year. Mr. Moore represented you as the board. I did sort of the prosecution, so to speak, for the administration. Initially, when I started practicing, that really wasn't clearly required. One person could do both. Now it seems like, you know, that's certainly something that due process requires. So we put that into the code. We also put into the code a predetermination process. And what this means is that before an employee is dismissed or suspended for 3 days, there is a kind of a mini hearing, an opportunity for that employee to tell the administrator or other, you know, personnel why he or she thinks that should not take place. Again, that's kind of an evolving concept of due process that we've put explicitly into the code. So I think those are sort of the major kind of overarching kinds of decisions we needed to make. We also wanted to clarify who were in the classifications of the employees. The ordinance, as you know, has three categories of employees. Excluded employees, which are basically elected officials, appointed boards such as yourself, and they're basically not part of the ordinance itself. They're not covered by the, you know, different provisions of the code. The second category is what's called unclassified employees, and there's a number of different changes we've made in that section because some of the positions, frankly, that are listed don't exist anymore. So we want to make very clear who was in and who was out. We were careful to say that this is covered by a state statute as well. There are four positions that are actually listed specifically in the state law as being subject to the county council's discretion in hiring. That would be the administrator, the director of finance, the county librarian, and the county engineer. So all of those positions are explicitly in the code at the state level. We've added some others into the proposed ordinance that are basically director level positions to make sure that there's, it's clear that they're so-called unclassified employees. Those persons serve at the pleasure of council, and since I've been representing Sussex County, that's always been the case. We wanted to make sure in the code that's very clear, so we put that language in there to make clear that that's a, you know, position that county council has direct, you know, discretion in who they hire and who they put into those positions. So I think that was a major addition to the code, just to make that clear. During the employee meetings, there were some questions about that, but it has been the practice since I've been representing the county. And as I said, many of these provisions are into the county code. We also wanted to clarify things like overtime policy to make sure that's uniform throughout the county. Some departments handle it differently than others. We've tried to adopt a policy that's, you know, clear across the board for that. And many other provisions, one of which is what happens if there's a resignation of an employee during the time when they're under disciplinary action. We put in there that to get vacation pay, sick pay, they have to be in good standing when they resign. And we've interpreted that very narrowly, very much in a pro-employee way. We've said that the person must be under a specific, you know, directive that they're going to be fired to not be entitled to that kind of a payment. And we did that advisedly. We don't want someone who, say, has gotten a bad review or a written reprimand to resign and lose that benefit. On the other hand, if you're actually subject to termination, you've had a paper delivered to you saying you're going to be fired, at that point, we think you're no longer in good standing. So I think those are the really major highlights. I know, Karen, are there other things that you think we need to address? Or so with that, I mean, I think we'll, Todd, do you have anything else that you'd, we're prepared to answer questions or entertain any questions from the audience, how you'd like to proceed.
Okay. Does any member of the board have any questions? I did, in looking through here, I saw a lot of the changes appeared to be type of changes that were making it gender neutral. For example, as you mentioned, there were certain protected classes that had not been mentioned before. And is and the other, some of the other items you had mentioned, you indicated just briefly about the overtime rules that had been changed and that they were handled differently throughout the different departments in the past. Where what do you have a place?
What we're
you can
doing with that is we're by policy, the administration has adopted an overtime policy. Karen's probably in a better position than I am to deal with the different departments, but there were apparently variations in how different departments dealt with things. And that did raise one thing I had meant to mention, I forgot to say. We have put into the code a section that says that the administration can adopt policies and procedures to implement any of these changes. And you know, that's within their authority, so as long as they are not in contravention or inconsistent with the ordinance itself. So let me give you an example of that. You know, we have a policy against discrimination, sexual harassment. We're not putting into the code the entire process you follow when there's an investigation or harassment issue. That's going to be something that's going to be adopted by policy. So Karen or someone else would do an investigation, you know, do a report, that sort of thing. We didn't think that was something that should be in the ordinance. We felt that should be something that's done by policy, and that's really common through both public and employers throughout the country. So that item you mentioned is going to be something that's going to be consistent with the code requirements, but adopted by policy.
Okay. Any other questions of the board? If not, at this point, we'd like to invite any member of the public that is here that would either have some questions or if you would like to comment on this. Is there anyone that would like to comment? Mr. Kramer. Good morning.
Morning. My name is Dan Kramer. Would somebody remove this computer so I can have the space?
Sorry about that.
First question I have, did you guys read it?
I read it.
All the way through?
Every That's page.
Every page?
Yes.
Very boring.
You got that right. And I'd like to know why some of this stuff needs to be changed. Seems to me we're really doing a lot of waste of time. And when you go down through here, and I'll give you a couple examples. First of all, just what he just said about firing somebody. First of all, somebody could be here for 20 years and all of a sudden some of the department heads get it up their turkeys that, oh, I don't like the guy, so I'm going to get him fired. Then what? Just because somebody doesn't like somebody? Where are you guys when you are supposed to have a routine where he's supposed to be able to appeal to you guys whether or not he can be fired? But just to arbitrarily fire somebody? I don't think so. And then lose their accumulated vacation time and all that they've earned over 20 years? Give me a break. And then it comes back here where the Family Leave Act is. Show me in the Family Leave Act law that it says that it's mandatory for the county to make that a person, when a parent is sick or whatever, when they want to take 12 weeks without pay, oh, you have to take your vacation time and your sick time. It doesn't say that. It says you can do that. It doesn't say it's mandatory at all. So then when a person goes out because the father, mother, or whatever is sick, and is out for 12 weeks and is forced to take the vacation, sick time, and the whole kit and caboodle, guess what? The person comes back and drops over one day and needs to go to the hospital and has no sick time, no vacation time of their own. Now, how stupid is that? That is pathetically stupid. And now, one thing I do like in here, that they at least put it in there that you guys have control over the human resources, because show me any one of these employees that's got anything good to show, talk about, saying anything about the human resources, and I got news for you. There ain't a one of them like that department whatsoever. Thank you. You all have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Willoughby, there were some questions that were raised with those comments. Could you respond, please?
Sure. In connection, first, I'll try to go in the order that they were presented. On the termination issue, nothing in the ordinance can trump any of the outstanding laws or regulations that we have out there, for example. So somebody would not be fired for race, sex, religion, political affiliation, all those kinds of things. Now, we're talking about the unclassified group at this point. So they have all of those rights. The classified employees, of course, have the hearing process that we've been through. And I'm not aware of any circumstance where there's been an arbitrary firing. If there were, that would be a federal due process issue. All we're saying is that at certain levels in any organization, and the analogy I give is like the president's cabinet. I mean, you have a certain high-level person who makes policy judgments. So naturally, counsel is going to have more authority, more control there, or they're exercise more authority and control there because they're setting the directive of the county. But there's certainly nothing in here that suggests that employees are going to be arbitrarily fired after 30 years and there's or 20 years or whatever. There's no intention to do that, and that would be something that would run afoul of federal due process principles as well. As I pointed out earlier, many of these provisions are in the state code anyway, as explicitly serving at the pleasure of counsel or at the discretion of counsel. So it's not not a concept that's not otherwise codified. So I understand the concern. I think it's a legitimate concern that someone who'd be here for a number of years would feel all of a sudden there's going to be an arbitrary dismissal. I mean, there's no intent to do that. And if that were to happen, that would be a due process issue that would be separately addressed. Now, let me talk to the Family Medical Leave Act issue. And I think the comment that was made brings up an issue under the Family Medical Leave Act. And employers have discretion as to whether or not to make the leave run concurrently with paid leaves or not concurrently. Every employer I represent has it running concurrently so that the employee's salary continues during that time period. If they have vacation, sick leave, even if it's workers' compensation, all of those rights run at the same time. I'm not aware of any employer, none that I represent, that would have that run separately, because you don't want the employee to go out for 12 weeks unpaid and then come back and be sitting on unused time that they may or not be able to use. So that's the philosophical thing. I think the witness is correct that is a matter of discretion for the county. And certainly, in my opinion, the personnel practice that's uniformly adopted is to run those two things concurrently. But it's a legitimate point that the council and this board, in considering the issue, can decide whether it should be concurrent or not. My recommendation is to make it concurrent. Let's see. There was one more issue, I guess, dealing with sick leave and that sort of thing. Again, we have built in very clear termination rights. A person is not going to lose their sick time or vacation time unless they're fired for cause. I mean, that's what that good standing provision means. So if they just resign, there's a reduction in force, that sort of thing, they're going to get their sick and vacation time under the ordinance. It's if we get to the point where we actually give an employee a notice saying, you're going to be fired at the end of the week or end of the day or whatever, at that point, they would not be in good standing. That's the circumstance and the only circumstance when they would lose accumulated vacation and sick leave time. And we've made that narrow. We did that advisedly because we don't, again, as I said in the beginning, we don't want someone who had maybe a marginal review or got a reprimand. That should not be a circumstance where they lose their accumulated vacation and sick leave. On the other hand, if they're actually under a process where they're subject to being terminated for misconduct, then we think that's the appropriate circumstance to say, if that happens, you should be denied your sick leave and vacation time. So I think it's a very narrow, just to make emphasize, it's a very narrow circumstance. They have to be under a present directive that they're going to be terminated to lose those benefits. So I think that addresses what was mentioned. I'm not sure if there are questions about that from the board.
Did anyone have questions on the explanation?
None at this time. Okay.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak today at this public hearing? Anyone else? Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, at this point we'll close the public hearing on this matter, and then it will be up to this board to make a recommendation to the county administrator, and it would need to be in the form of a motion, Mr. Chair, if that is the board's pleasure to make a recommendation to the administrator. You can discuss this, you could have proposed amendments to it, or you could simply recommend it as it stands.
Gentlemen, you have any comments?
I would just comment that I, as Mr. Yocum, I read this in detail last night. Actually read it a couple of times, and my first comment is I would compliment the county administrator and the staff for updating the code, and also for being inclusive and including employee groups. It appears that employee focus groups were involved and allowed to provide input into that, and I think that's a very positive thing, so I would compliment the staff for doing that.
Thank you. Mr. Yocum, do you have any comments?
Yes, I myself had read the Chapter 29 personal, and you can't read it once. You have to read it two or three times, and sometimes you have to make reference back. Well, I was impressed with the comments from the employees when they had their meeting. They had some very good questions, and I had to refer back on to the grandparents' part and the bereaved to read it a couple times to really understand it. But I do feel that this is a right step in the right direction, becoming uniform with both state and federal codes that will always protect the employees. So that's my comments.
Good. I feel the same way. There are 500 employees or more that work for the Sussex County, and this ordinance appears to address all the procedures that they can go through. It's very detailed, and what I'd like to do is get a recommendation from the floor to approve this ordinance and recommend it to the administrator.
I'll move that the county administrator move forward with a proposed ordinance to the county council to adopt.
I'll second that motion.
Gentlemen, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 There being no opposition, the recommendation goes forward to the county administrator as published.
Okay, and at this point, it would be appropriate to, since there is no other business listed on the agenda, to seek a motion to adjourn.
I'd like to ask a motion to adjourn the panel.
I'll move that we adjourn the personnel board.
I'll second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion's approved.
This was certainly shorter than our last get-together.